If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
That is the Chris Green Quartet on a CD titled Boundary Issues. Sitting here now across from me is Chris Green, who I met some time ago, not all that long ago, Chris. It had to be sometime during the winter time.
Yeah, like less than a year, I think.
Yeah. And was so taken with you on air that I decided to write a piece about what, and your guys were incredible. They're very thoughtful about it, because I'm ever curious about what compels people to create. Talk about yourself for a while. Reintroduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay. Excuse me. Well, my name is Chris Green, saxophone player, band leader. I have a band of my own called the Chris Green Quartet. And
you guys have been together a long time.
We've been together a while. Long enough that the new guy, I was T. Steve, our drummer, the new guy, he's been with us 7 years, which is over half of the life of the band. So the new guy's been with us 7 years. So.
And you came to music how?
Just one of those things. I was Evanston had always had a pretty good program, and somebody, you know, when you're in grade school, the guy or woman comes to the school with all the instruments and lets the kid touch them and feel them, and you can play this one or you know, put your mouth on this trombone or whatever. And it was just one of those things where I just ended up. I picked the saxophone not because I had any musicians in the family, but it just looked really cool, looked really shiny.
Don't you find, that's just an amazing thing, because it is like finding gold. You found, in essence, the thing that continues to drive your life and from which you get immense satisfaction.
Absolutely.
I find it some kind of like a miracle or something.
It's one of those things. I mean, I can honestly say if it wasn't for that and playing the saxophone, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. Just it's what I've decided to devote my life to, and there you go.
It's not an easy. No musician's life is easy. Well, I guess maybe Elton John has an easy life. Maybe Paul McCartney has an easy life, but I mean there are sacrifices along the way, and there are frustrations too, and there are halting moments where I'm assuming, even in your case, and in case of your bandmates, where you may not be progressing at the level you want because you can't practice enough and you've got to get a straight job. Can you talk to me about that? I mean, about plowing through those kind of things?
Well, I'm lucky and I'm blessed in a couple respects. First of all, I've got the guys, musically they're better than I could ever ask for. Personally, they're very, very patient. You know, they've seen the band through times where we were, you know, busy every single week, like 5-6 nights a week playing, and then there would be like months or whatever going by where we're just okay, you know, writing and trying to, you know, book some things down the road. And so they've been incredibly patient. They've been really they've invested a lot of time and effort, and so I owe them a lot, just because of their patience. So I've got kind of like the responsibility of a, you know, entrepreneur / band leader to keep them.
Well,
you are
kind of the business side of this thing. I mean, you are looking for gigs and you're updating the web pages and doing all of that stuff. But you also collaboratively, you've grown with these other gentlemen.
Absolutely. I mean,
because that's something I had you on by yourself once, and then I had all of you guys on, and it was a revelation in many ways for me that you bring to this quartet all sorts of different musical influences and inspirations, don't you?
Absolutely. And my idea, you know, as a band leader, I mean, I get the final say, but my idea for a song or a an arrangement might not necessarily be the best idea. And that's, you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow, especially for like, hey, I'm the guy that, I'm the leader. I'm the guy that booked the gig. How dare you tell me that this great idea isn't, but anyway, but it, you know, it's like, okay, what if you combine your idea with my idea? You know what? Your idea is better, or I'll try my idea and okay, that was crap. And then, you know, what do you think? How do you hear this? And then, okay, I like your idea. And then we'll just kind of weave it all together. And
when you get a, you, when I wrote a piece about you, the story was in January.
Yep.
It was before you were going to have this sort of residency, I guess it's called, at Andy's. Well, define that for me. A residency means, hey, you will be playing a regular gig every third Monday, every Monday. Right. What's the benefit of that kind of thing? To be able to build up an audience?
A number of things. Yeah, build up an audience. Know that, you know, hey, you can expect to see us here at this particular place at this particular time. You get to, for the audience, you know, like I said, they know where we are, and they have the, you know, if they come to see us, you know, 1 week, the song that we play will sound differently, you know, will sound differently. And even just because of, we also get to play, for us, it's beneficial just because we've got something to do every single week, and we get stronger and stronger as a band, and the even songs that we've played a million times, just they deviate each. I mean, they just kind of evolve and mutate every single week.
Do they take different shapes? And I have to assume so, in different venues. So that if you're doing a show at the Music Institute of Chicago, as opposed to Andy's, there's got to be a completely different. Talk to me
absolutely
about that. I'm fascinated by that.
It's an interesting. So let's say like a place like Space, for instance, like where everything's, you are the focal point, everything's on you. Like a really like, and Andy's is certainly a listening room. But let's say, like a place like Space is, you know, more let's say like a small concert hall,
right?
The thing about Andy's is that the people that come to Andy's aren't necessarily jazz fans.
Right, exactly.
They're people, there's a number of hotels in the area, there's conventioneers, there's just kind of late night bar hoppers. Because we got the late shift, we started at 9:30. So there's all kinds of late night bar hoppers and people who may be on their way to the Redhead Piano Bar or the way from the Redhead Piano Bar. So they may not necessarily be jazz fans, but that's an advantage to us because they have no necessary preconceptions of what they think jazz is or whatever. They're just kind of there to see, have a good time. And those end up being some of my favorite audiences, just people who aren't necessarily jazz fans, but just, hey, I'm here because you got, this place is known for Chicago jazz, quote unquote. And, you know, they'll sit down and with their drink or whatever, and we'll just kind of like hit them with our really aggressive stuff. And, you know.
Another interesting question. I don't think it's a question that I hope gets an interesting answer is what I mean. In that, I know that cabaret singers, a songbird has to play the audience, and it's a much more kind of sort of theatrical. Do you guys, you know, I think of someone like Miles Davis who might play turning his back to the audience. In a place like Andy's, how do you define your relationship with audience members? Do you make eye contact? Do you sort of, can you play at a person? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, there's a showbiz element to
absolutely
it, and there's a theatricality to any band.
That's absolutely.
How do you guys do that?
Well, we talk about this all the time. I mean, I'm certainly one of the great things, or one of the great and bad things about, say, like the 1940s bebop revolution, is that it made everybody wanted to be an artist, and so the audiences stopped dancing and sat down and watched the music, which was great because it made everything made people take us seriously as artists. However, the kind of entertainment thing where people would go to have a good, the people would dance and bob their heads, that part, you know, that part is kind of like, whoa, should we focus all our attention or whatever? Is it okay to look like we're having a good time? And so with us, like say at Andy's, it's cool. We want people to have a good time and hoot and holler and, you know.
Sure.
And so to your question, We rarely, if ever, I don't think I've written two set lists in my life. Like, the 14 whatever years with this band, I've maybe written two set lists. Usually it's just like, okay, this audience probably is a little more traditional. We can do these songs and maybe hit them with some experimental stuff sandwiched in.
Interesting. And how do you communicate with the band? I mean, you turn around and say, let's play the John Dillinger rag or
right.
something?
You know, the benefit of having a band and working with the same guys is that, I can say, hey, let's play blah, blah, blah. Or I can play a little tiny bit of a phrase.
And they'll get it. They know what it is.
And they'll get it. And they'll know, if it's a song that they're not as familiar with, they'll pull the sheet music up. Or if it's a song we play often, they can usually just jump right on it and we can fit it, So that's one another benefit of having the residency is that the songs that we are already familiar with, we get more familiar with. And then we can pull some of the more stuff out of the vault. So to speak, and that we haven't got to play as much and get more familiar with that, so we can. So
it's fascinating.
So we've got more access.
I will never exhaust my desire to learn more about this creative process. That's why I'll keep you on for another half hour. And we'll listen to Chris will select a full tune for you to hear from Boundary Issues, and the great Aubrey Mumpower will play it. So stay tuned. Chris Green is in here with me in the studio, and we're going to hear an entire tune. It's nice to hear the bumps that come in and we play before we go on, but it's also really nice for you to get the experience of a full song. He is, and has a very busy month coming up. He is at Andy's every Monday through December.
Through the end of the year. Yep.
That must, when someone, when you're doing it for a month, and okay, that's fine, that's great. And then someone comes up to you and says, hey, can you stay for the next 7 months?
Yeah, that was a surprise. Well, we'd had two. We had the 2 months that we talked about. And then they tacked on another one. I was like, okay, cool. And then tacked on one more. I was like, all right, fine. And then it was like, yeah, let's just play the rest of the year. One thing I will say, and this is if I can impart any wisdom on any upcoming musician, be nice to the staff because, or at least,
good point.
Say hi to them, don't act like a jerk and not tip them or just, but just be nice to them. And because ultimately they're the lifeblood of any venue. And if they like you, then you get to stick around and most people that work at venues, they see people like all the time. They see really, really great bands and not so great bands or whatever. And pretty much I'm sure that if you're easy to work with and you're good at what you do, they're like, man, you gotta have them again, because not only were they nice people, but I made a crap load of tips that night. So,
Are you getting, Chris, in the couple of months you've had this residency, are you getting regulars in there just to hear you? That must be starting to happen.
A couple of regulars, which is nice. And actually, what's really nice, actually, the last four or five weeks, we've had fellow musicians just kind of drop in and play with us.
And play with you.
And that's been fun.
That's an ultimate.
And people that I really, really like, and people that are, busy and band leaders in their own rights are just, hey, I was in the area, finished up my gig early.
That's what's good about a residency, too. People know where to find you.
Yep, the audience and musicians.
What are we going to hear? We're going to hear ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear a 6-minute piece of Chris Green's CD, the Chris Green Quartet, Boundary Issues. You can go to Chris Green Jazz to learn more about all of their CDs. Chris Green, Green with an E, jazz.com. Tell us about this tune.
This one's called Here to Help. It's the first track, first song on the new album. And basically, it's my tribute to two kind of different, two disparate Chicago musical legends. On one hand, you've got the great Eddie Harris, saxophonist, experimental, had a lot of some really, really kind of hits in towards the late 60s, early 70s with like the theme from Exodus Compared to What and all the kind of, and he dabbled in some funkier stuff. So the first part kind of is kind of reminiscent of an Eddie Harris song. The second part is kind of reminiscent of kind of a kind of pays tribute to Chicago's house movement.
Oh, neat.
So kind of like his stuff, and or Eddie Harris's stuff, and then like a guy that I really like by the guy named of Frankie Knuckles, who
produced
a lot of that house stuff.
Sure. So. Here you are, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy.
We'll be right back.
Wow. And I'm sure you're not clapping at home, but if you were in a club and listened to that.
All right.
We're clapping in the studio. That's just really something, Chris Green.
Thank you.
That's the Chris Green Quartet. The meaning, if there is one, the meaning of boundary issues, that's the title of your latest CD, the import of that. What does that mean?
A couple of issues. I mean, typically boundary issues is a
right.
is a bad thing. You know, somebody doesn't know their place. I tend to look at it as like I kind of feel that way about my listening habits of music. Like I listen to jazz, obviously, but I listen to everything. And before I was a jazz musician, you know, I was that kid that you know, 12 or whatever, that would watch hours upon hours of MTV.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm that. You know, I'm at heart, I'm still that same kid. Then I picked up saxophone and, you know, just use all my different influences or whatever. But also just the way that we think about making music. I mean, we are a jazz band, but very rarely do we walk around as, you know, the individuals and say, we are a jazz band. We'll write some music and usually I'll have a feel or a kind of vibe or whatever I'm in mind. And fortunately, these guys are versed in, you know,
all sorts
of styles of music. So I can just say, like, I want this particular beat here or this particular chord progression there. But it's you know, they have enough knowledge of a broad knowledge of all kinds of stuff that we can just kind of draw on all that stuff.
It's a great band. I mean, my favorite jazz band. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming events, not just the Andy's residency through the year 2094, whatever you guys are into, but also some very intriguing shows coming up. So please stay tuned. Steve Cochran talks about all the stuff that matters at 6 a.m. this coming Monday morning. We'll be right back. That is the last time you will hear the Chris Green Quartet on this show, but don't make a mistake and not hearing them in person. They are all over the place. You're at Andy's, not tomorrow, but every Monday after that through the rest of the year.
At least, yes.
At least. The rest of the decade. We have no idea. Let's talk about some other stuff you're doing, too. You've got... and one of the nice things about Andy's, there are a lot of good players who are dropping in to join the band. You're going to be surprised by people.
That I like. It's becoming, in addition to, you know, like what we talked about, where it's we get to hone our stuff and you know, work on our chops. A lot of musicians that we really, really like and respect have come through and played with us.
God, so. That sounds so exciting. Now, what is this thing? On Wednesday, July 25th, the... West Suburban Jazz Bus Tour. What is that?
Well, you know, like, we know around the time of Jazz Fest, they have kind of like a north-south jazz pub crawl kind of thing. So a saxophonist that I know, Dorania Stampley, she's a great player and concert presenter. She's kind of doing the same thing. The Western suburbs tend to be underserved when it comes to jazz.
No question. Yeah, it's going to be in Berwyn, Maywood, Forest Park, Oak Park. That sounds great fun.
Yep.
What about this Fernwood Botanical Garden? I don't know this place, Chris Green. What is this? Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve in Niles, Michigan.
Yeah. So Niles, Michigan, like I think that's near like New Buffalo and all those towns. So we actually played there a long, long time ago.
Is it an outdoor concert?
Yeah, like kind of an outdoor. Hopefully the weather's good to be outdoor.
Yeah,
but yes, but outdoor. It's an outdoor thing. We played there once a long, long time ago, and we finally, the stars aligned where we were able to do it again. But yeah, it's an outdoor concert. We've played out in that area, like South Bend and Benton Harbor. We've played out. We used to play out there in that area quite a bit. We haven't as much recently. So hopefully a lot of
people... You've been sloughing off on your managerial duties, man. You've been playing and writing music too much. You've got this Andy's thing.
Right, exactly.
Sloughing off on your managerial
getting soft
duties.
Getting soft.
This sounds like fun. An outdoor jazz concert just sounds like like a ball. Again, that's the Fern. Now, you can go to chrisgreenjazz.com and find out all of this stuff. Now, on the 28th at Martyrs, where even I have performed, 3855 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago, the Chris Green Quartet featuring Mark James Heath, poet, comedian.
Yes.
How did this come to be?
So this is something that I wanted to do for a long, long time. It's, you can, one thing about the city, there's all kinds of entertainment. You know, there's jazz clubs,
comedy
rock clubs, comedy
sure.
clubs. And one thing that people often forget is that, you know, you used to be able to go out and see like a complete kind of night of entertainment. Like you could go out to see a jazz band, but you might have a comedian open up or
no
whatever.
No question.
Or,
I mean, Mr. Kelly's was famous for that. They
right.
rarely would book two singers back to back.
That's
they
right.
would have a comedian and a singer or a... a juggler and a acrobat. Who
exactly.
knows?
Yeah. You know, and kind of I've wanted to do for a while, but the idea was more or less solidified. So I'm on the Evanston Space mailing list, and I get an email. Victor, the great Victor Wooten, the bass player, he's coming to town with his band. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna go check that right in the backyard. I'm not working. And special guest star Sinbad, the comedian. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, now how's this gonna work? Okay, he's gonna come up and do 30 minutes of material, and then the band will play. And it was a great show because they basically. He was kind of an honorary band member. Now, that's not necessarily what we're going to do with Mark.
Right.
But this is something that I've wanted to do where, like, we could kind of take the goodwill that we've had, the audience that we've managed to accrue and, like, okay, instead of putting two jazz bands that sound similar or somewhat similar, let's give them a completely different, aspect. And this is not without precedent, as you know.
Oh, of course. But an even more recent precedent where for arena shows, guys like Steve Martin were opening for like the Rolling Stones.
Absolutely.
And I think it just got in many cases cheaper. It's so much maybe cheaper to have, because any band would play to open for the Rolling Stones. I'm sure Steve Martin didn't do it for free.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But I love that idea. Steve Sato and Amy, this is a, don't you think this is a great idea?
And
this is the first time you guys are, the quartet's doing
first
this.
Time we've done this kind
what,
of thing.
What did the, your three partners think when you brought up the idea? Were they immediately receptive?
I think they were a little shocked.
Like, what?
I mean, right. They're a little shocked. I mean, they're known. They'll see, like, that seems like an erratic decision, but then they also know that, all right, you've probably thought this through, or this is something that probably thought this through for a while. This is something I wanted to do, like, just, again, give people, a full night of stuff, or just a very unique comedy or a comedian, and then us, and just kind of pass the baton, and just do something a little different.
Well, I think, as we both know, it's not an innovative idea, but it's newly innovative because it went by the wayside for some reason that I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know why something like that faded because we're all so pigeonholed these days. I'm a comedian. I don't. I guarantee you George Carlin opened for all manner of musical acts.
Absolutely.
At Kelly's, and that's what the Playboy clubs used to be all about too, that you could do it on different floors. But
absolutely.
You could, I think you may be onto something here, Chris, bringing this back. Call it a night of progressive jazz and comedy.
Yes.
Define that progressive for me.
Just, he's like, for instance, Mark James, he was a friend of a friend. He was referred to me by some friends of mine, and I really, he's a unique dude in that he's a young black dude, I think in his late 20s, and he's got two daughters, and a fair amount of time touring and living in Canada, and he's from Chicago, but he's back in town now. And so now he's just kind of like getting back into the scene and getting plugged back in. So, but he kind of, in a weird way, he reminds me of like, he kind of reminds me of like a young Dick Gregory.
Wow.
In kind of his stage manner and his demeanor. But then he's also not afraid of a really gross scatological joke. So I'm like, all right, I like this guy. So
what did he think when you approached him?
I think he was surprised because, but, or he was a little surprised that I had noticed him, because I don't think he gets. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of attention outside of like I think a lot of musician attention. You know, I think, you know, like he works a lot and does a lot of out of town stuff with you know, kind of the comedy scene. But I think it was just kind of like, it probably was like a weird thing. Like, hey, I'm a band leader and I built up a little following and blah blah blah. Hey, would you like to come open up for us? It was kind of. I think he was a little surprised, but I think once he kind of realized I wasn't some weirdo stalking him, I think he was into it.
You are not a weirdo, Chris Kring. I love this idea. I got to tell you, I really love this idea. This has been so far a very good year for you, hasn't it?
It's been good. Lots of work, lots of attention. Thank you very much for the...
It was one of my favorite pieces so far this year, just talking about, you know, what it does. Chris and I were talking off air. It demystifies, you know, there's mystery in all music, but it demystifies the whole notion of it. If for you, the listener, thinking, well, I don't know what these jazz guys are all
right
about. They're human beings, and
I'm not intelligent enough to listen to it, I don't get it. It's like, you know what, if just show us the stage and sit down with your drink, your cocktail or whatever, and let us try to give you a good, see if we can. You try to have a good day, you know, a good time listening to us.
Yeah, and I think you guys, and you know, the other nice thing is talk to you between sets. You know, these guys are not in a corner going, oh, we better do this next set, we better
right.
do this. These guys are very approachable, and they're all interesting people too.
No, we're not closed up. We're usually at the bar. You can usually find us between sets at the bar, and you know,
in the great jazz musician tradition,
right?
Yeah.
But you know, you can talk to us, and there you go.
Chris Kring, you get all the information you can get. The CDs, too, which you should. The latest you've been hearing is from the Chris Kring Quartet, Boundary Issues. And I would really think about this Martyrs show. You can also get that information at chrisgreen with an ejazz.com.